easy, equal access to software and information. Glad to have everybody here. We plan to record this. And if you go to EASY's homepage by the beginning of next week, which is EASI.cc, at the top of the homepage, I should have a link to the recording. So we have some other webinars coming up on the 16th of October. I'm going to try to do one on Narrator. Got some problems I need to work out. At the end of the month, we have one from Yuta from Toronto about raising the floor. I'm excited that some commercial companies are trying to build more accessibility into their products. For example, in Office, there's a lot of places where a teacher can be prompted to do something accessible instead of having to know it. So Raising the Floor is trying to make the internet more friendly so everybody will do things more accessible. And the one that's going to excite people is on the first of November, we're doing one on Chromebook. So that should get a lot of excitement. So I want to thank everybody. We've been doing webinars for more than 20 years, somewhere in the middle 90s. And this is our first one with Zoom. Beth and I are still in the process of learning Zoom and how it works. So to tell you the truth, we're as interested in listening to the presenters today as I know you will. So I want to thank everybody for being here and look forward to having you at a future webinar. So with that, I'll turn the mic over to Hadi. He can introduce his friends and the panelists will be in charge of the rest of the recording.
That's great. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming to this meeting. We will be talking about Zoom and Zoom accessibility today. I am here with my colleagues, Jason. I'll let them introduce themselves. Jason?
Hi, everybody. I'm Jason Smith. I'm the Zoom service manager here at the University of Washington in the provost office.
Thank you, Jason. Pass to Ken and Andy.
I'm Andy D'Artola. I'm one of the product managers at Zoom. And then we also have Ken, who's one of our lead engineers, who's helped drive the accessibility initiative here at Zoom.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let me talk about a few logistics. The current setting of the Zoom that you have is a webinar mode. In this mode, you will not have access to all the fancy feature of standard regular rooms. The later time when we get to the demo section, we will be sharing our screen and you will see and then hear all those functions, or some of them. You are muted, but however, you can use the chat to send the chat to us. We will have voice of chat, I think at some stage, maybe at the 30 minutes past the hour, we will check with the voice of chat, who is Beth today, and tell us about the important questions or things that we need to really address immediately. Otherwise, you know, you can wait until the QA session and then ask all your questions about Zoom and Zoom accessibility. When we get to the QA question, if you are using Mac, you can use Command Shift A to mute and unmute your microphone when you are in the room. And if you are using Windows, it is Alt A to toggle your microphone. This session, as Beth mentioned that, or Norm mentioned that, it is being recorded and it is also being captioned. So first we will have a background to how we got to this point. Then we talk a little bit about our collaboration with Zoom and the progress that we made over the past 2 years as far as accessibility goes. Then Andy and Ken will drive and they will show you a demo, the general features of Zoom. Then later, Jason and I, we take over and then demo some of those accessibility features. And then at the end, we will have QA session that you have the chance to ask your questions. So how we got to a little background about Zoom collaboration. A couple of years ago, I think this is a little over 2 years ago, University of Washington was used until we were using a different audio video conferencing system that we were not happy with, and then we were thinking to replace it with a better one or a different one that would work better. At the same time, Washington K-20 Education Network was looking also for the similar solution. And then they together looked into a few options and then they narrowed down their selection. And once they picked their choice, they made their choice, you know, Zoom was their winner. And then at the beginning, we had a kind of pilot project. I think Jason can talk about that because Jason is the service manager for Zoom. I'm going to tell you all about it. But once we were in the pilot phase, then we were connected with Zoom, and then we discussed or we made our evaluation, and then which was not really promising at all at the beginning. Then my colleague and I, we looked into that and we were very skeptic if we could ever get this application to a point that we could use it, that it could be used by a user with disability. To our surprise, Zoom really responded very positively to that collaboration, and then they really put a lot of effort into making their learning about accessibility. Ken, who I call that the father of accessibility at Zoom, he traveled a couple of times to Asia, and we sat down together and we went through, we showed him a lot of barriers and problems that we were facing. And then he took it back to his engineers, and then we were very pleased to see that we were making, that those issues were fixed one after another. I need to emphasize that, you know, as much as we are very pleased with the collaboration that we with Zoom, we do not endorse the Zoom as a solution because, you know, it is not my job. It is not our job. We can only endorse their effort and that they are striving for accessibility, and they have demonstrated that they are really looking into that to make it their application more accessible. So again, we are not saying that Zoom is 100% accessible, but we know that they are working, we are working together to make it happen. We were able to make accessibility part of our contract. In the contract, Zoom is promising to make it WCAG 2.0 accessible, and I think Andy will talk later about it. And then at the same time, the issue list that we have, all the issues that we find, it is attached to the contract. So any issues that we report, it goes to their issue list, and then they are obligated to address those issues. Now, the collaboration that we have with Zoom, it is really nothing new. about our collaboration. For those of you who know us, we have been collaborating with various companies or software companies for almost 13, 14 years. You will see under my slides a list of many companies that we worked successfully and we were able to make their product accessible. The fact is that, you know, I call that the reactive approach doesn't work. We just not can tell them you cannot tell the university you cannot purchase this product because they need that product and there isn't any other alternative one. So the best method that we found was or is to engage the company in an accessibility conversation and make the accessibility part of the contract and work with them and help them to understand the accessibility and then help them to resolve. So some of the companies that we worked with, almost four major LMS vendor, Blackboard, Desire to Learn, Moodle, and Canvas. And then we worked with the library area with Elsevier and then EBSCO Publishing. And then we worked also with Illuminate, a former, now it was purchased by Blackboard. They called that Blackboard Collaborate, but we worked with them before they become part. They became part of Blackboard. We worked also with Ellucent, PeopleSoft, and Workday. And we have been working also with Google, Microsoft, and many other companies like ServiceNow. And then Panopto, and many more. So while we are doing all this collaboration, this collaboration will not happen without active participation of those of you guys. So if you are interested to work on any of the collaboration that we have here, you are welcome to drop an email to me and then I will connect you with the right team. Hopefully you can become part of the solution and then help these companies to become more accessible. Specifically about Zoom, I am interested to see more participants. So the Zoom does not become just UW specific accessibility solution. It becomes also everybody's solution because we have our strong opinion about accessibility while we are following the standards, but there are certain area that we might have our strong opinion. So if you become part of this collaboration, you will have the opportunity to be, as I said, part of the solution. My contact information, or you will find my contact information at the end of the meeting, end of the show, in the contact slide, I guess. So a couple of points. When we collaborate with a company, we have two major goals: short-term goal, which is addressing the low, fix the immediate problem, and then practically we start with low-hanging fruit, and then we are now in that phase. We are slowly transitioning to long-term solution, which is making sure that accessibility becomes part of the design, development, and quality testing processes. Now, I would like to pass it to Andy to talk about the Zoom commitment and show the general features of Zoom. But before that, I would like to ask Jason if you have something to add, please.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Hadi. This is Jason Smith. The only thing I really have to add, you covered everything really well, Hadi, is we chose to partner with Internet 2 to purchase Zoom. And we did that in a very strategic way to be able to partner with other institutions that also purchased Zoom through Internet 2. And the Internet too is a really important partnership because it allows us to collaborate with a large group of other institutions who are using Zoom. And we all have a shared interest in meeting accessibility requirements. And so it allows us to work together and collaborate, much like Hadi is encouraging everyone here to participate if you're interested. And I would also encourage you to look into purchasing the Zoom through Internet too, as a way to join a more formal collaboration around accessibility. So, so yeah, that's all I really have to add.
Thank you.
Yep.
Pass to you, Andy. And you might want to share your screen. Yes.
There we go. Okay, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me go ahead and share my screen. Or if Hadi, can you go back to the previous slide? Okay, so just as an overview of Zoom. So Zoom is a video conferencing, video communications platform, and we specialize in video, audio, and screen sharing. So as Hadi mentioned, about 2 years ago, the University of Washington and Ken began the collaboration that started the accessibility movement within Zoom. So through that, Zoom has become committed to providing universal access to our products and services on all our platforms, which include Windows, macOS, iOS, Android, as well as Linux, Chrome OS, and other conference room systems. So that includes Polycom systems, Cisco systems, as well as our Zoom Room solution that's meant for conference rooms. Currently, at Zoom, we are compliant to the accessibility standards. Zoom is compliant to the accessibility standards and guidelines such as WCAG 2.0, ARIA 1.1, and Section 508. And on top of that, we're also striving to provide the best user experience for all of our users, especially with accessibility moving forward. So as mentioned before, 2 years ago when we started the collaboration, when we made the commitment to accessibility, we started to build a dedicated team within Zoom to focus on accessibility. And with that, that goes with to ensure that our future releases don't introduce new accessibility related issues. Hadi, can you move to the next slide? Okay. So the general features of Zoom that we provide are, we have audio and video conferencing. We have the ability to join Zoom from your phone or through the computer. So that would be either to dial into the meeting and use your phone audio, or to download the Zoom application or join through your browser. We have two types of meeting platforms. So the first one is the meeting room, which is intended to be more of a collaboration platform. This platform allows all users to be unmuted, share their video, and share their screen at any time. The other one, which is actually what we're using right now, is the webinar platform, which is intended to be more of a broadcast or presentation, where there's a group of panelists or a single presenter that is talking to an audience that is just listening. So similar to a classroom setting or a typical webinar broadcast. So with our screen sharing, the way we send it is as a video stream, since it is the user's content. And along with that, we allow the user to share their audio. So this is very helpful if a user is sharing their a video that they might want to share the audio with that video to the meeting, or if they're sharing a song or some other audio clip, as well as the use of screen readers. So if you're using a screen reader, we can pipe that audio through the meeting so that all the participants can hear it. So as the host has a number of controls for the meeting. We have the participants list, which lists out all the participants of the meeting, and the host can navigate to each user and choose to mute them or ask them to share their screen or other settings that are similar. We also provide breakout room functionality, which allows you to break out larger meetings into smaller collaborative sessions, which provide the same features as the larger meeting that allow you to have different discussions within the same meeting. We also have in-meeting chat, which is pretty self-explanatory. Instead of talking through your mic and listening to the speaker, you can send messages if you don't want to disturb someone or if you want to communicate through the in-meeting chat that way. And then we also provide a recording feature, which allows you to save the recording in an MP4 format to your local hard drive, or you can save it to the Zoom Cloud, where we have additional features such as meeting transcript, as well as sharing the recording. We will provide you a recording link that you can send out to your participants. And I think that's the general overview of the general features of Zoom. So back to you, Hadi and Jason.
Okay, thank you, Andy. I appreciate that. Jason told me we have received a few questions. That is the time for voice of chat. So Beth, would you like to take over and then read the questions that you think are relevant questions, please?
Okay, so can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired Outreach Media says that they're curious about your closed captioning. Are you using a cart stream or is someone typing directly into the closed caption window? And I can answer that. Someone is typing directly into the closed caption window. Then Darren says, I'm an AAC user and rely heavily on the chat. Is there a way to have chat notifications more pronounced, like a sound notification, so people would know when there is a new message? I have submitted a Zoom support ticket for this.
Okay, I can answer that, but I can pass it also to Andy to respond. At this time, the chat is being announced. It has become so much that this is becoming too annoying. So we are working with Zoom on customization on the chats or text received or chat received, so we can customize it. At least I know that it works so far. We have tested. Andy, is it something that you would like to add to it?
Okay. So what Hadi mentioned was correct. It should give you a notification. I think what was being referred to in this question was just a general notification that there is a new message. As Hadi mentioned, we are looking into more customizations for all the notifications within Zoom so that it's more compatible with screen readers, as well as just general customizations for notifications and announcements throughout Zoom.
Okay, thank you. If you can stay there, do not unmute yourself. Yeah. So Beth, next, please. How many?
Next one is Roberta wants you to please discuss pricing.
I think that is something that you can take it to Zoom. And is it something that you can discuss it here?
Yeah, so we have all of our pricing listed on our website, so at zoom.us. Feel free to take a look there or after this this webinar. I think we have a list of our contact information. Feel free to send me or Ken an email and we can direct you to someone that can help you.
And this is Jason, just to add to that, University of Washington is an Internet 2 consortium member. So I would suggest you look into your university if they're a member of Internet 2 consortium. If not, encourage them to join Internet 2 because you do get preferred pricing for all sorts of technology, including Zoom. You do get a educational discount off of the retail price.
Thank you. Beth.
Okay, the next question is, well, I'm going to jump down to the bottom question only because I have the answer to that. John said he has concerns that the registration for Zoom webinar uses a CAPTCHA, and Zoom responded that reCAPTCHA is fully accessible. I and many others challenge this assertion. Can we at least allow this to be optional? Actually, maybe I can't answer. I thought that you were referring to the registration form for this particular webinar, and that was done through Google Forms, and they keep changing it, so I've been trying to fix it so we don't have that problem. But maybe you're referring to registering through Zoom, so you might have to specify on that one.
I haven't haven't registered for Zoom for a long time. I do not know that if I have.
Andy may know.
Jason said that Andy might know.
Yeah, so for this one, we're currently looking into this to figure out what's going on. I think we started to talk with Google about the reCAPTCHA not functioning properly as it should with users that are using a screen reader or that can't see the check that box. So we're looking into this one.
Okay, thank you.
I think
we need one. Okay, let us, Beth, if you can hold on the other questions, so let us move on so we can go to show some of those accessibility features.
Well, I think this one question you're going to be answering, so just so you know in advance, they're wanting to know what types of testing and other customization for accessibility has been done so far, and I think that's the whole point of this presentation. So
we're going to answer that. So
yeah, we will be answering that. Thank you.
Okay.
Good. So let me, so for the next minute, please be patient with us because we have to configure my room or my setting here so you can hear some of the JAWS feedback. Or maybe not. Maybe we can hear through my speaker here. No, I think you do that. It is better when you do that to my speaker. I potentially, as Andy mentioned, that when you do that, the screen sharing, you can also pipe your audio output to the room, so anyone can hear you. So I'm hearing the chance that you send, so just somehow it's distracting me. But don't worry. So let me go to Zoom room. Okay. We talked about, we can answer that question. You know, we've got to, for example, this is the main landing page before you enter the room. That is the setting that we have.
Access feature button, central shift app, shift app, shift app, escape, even menus, add mute currently unmuted button. Stop share button. Add audio settings button.
Okay, let me start with this one because it's really doing live demo. It is difficult. So here is the toolbar with the audio setting that I can go and then change my audio settings. And I'm using arrow keys to change the values. This time I don't want to change anything for obvious reason. So press escape to close it. And then I can, this is another thing that I don't want to play with it. Is it mute, unmute? But we have also shortcut keys for some of those commonly used functions. Stop share, I don't want to do that. This is an advanced feature, I don't want to talk about this one. Remote control, this is an interesting feature that I can pass the control to other users so they can take over my computer and run it for me. And this is something that we do all the time when we are collaborating, when this company, so they can drive my computer from their end and they can see the feedback that we receive. I need to tell Jason then and Dan to stay quiet.
I'll be right back.
Okay, don't close it. So Dan stopped by and then he wanted to say something. So, pause sharing. This is a QA. Open the participants panel. This is an interesting place that most of us we would like, at some stage, we need to interact with. Okay.
So, Hadi, they're not seeing when you're sharing your participants window.
Really?
Yeah, they're not seeing it. Share when Zoom windows and desktop share.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Now you can see it.
Okay. I'm glad that somebody mentioned that. So.
Okay, it's working now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry
about that.
So this is the toolbar that I can go. Here, as you see, that I am just arrowing down on the list of the participants. I am, for example, if I need to see the what functions are available, I press the space bar and then see the options here. Didn't work? Maybe it is not available at this mode, but I usually use the standard meeting room. I'm not really familiar with the webinar interface, but when we are in the standard room, when I press enter on any of these names, I get the options to chat or the.
It's because you're sharing your screen. It's because you're sharing your screen. So you're in a different view. Than normal.
Jason is telling me, unfortunately, in this mode, I won't be able to show them. What else do you want to do that? I even see that here. Three open questions. I want to give it remote control. So can I pass it to you? I've never done that, but I'm passing my control to Dan.
I don't want it.
I don't want it.
I don't want to control your computer.
Capture. Andy.Bullet. Andy.Bullet.
Andy, can I send it to you?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm person passing to you. So can you drive it from there?
Yeah, so as you can see, I'm able to switch to the PowerPoint. I can choose the video options or go back and forth through the slides. Oops. So basically, I'm able to use my mouse to navigate or use my keyboard, and anything that I send will be sent through to Hadi's computer.
Yeah, that's great. It was a dangerous action. We tried to do it during the live webinar, you know, doing these services. Very critical. For those of you who have been a screen reader user, you know that how critical some of these actions could be in a live session. But one of the things that I personally like with Zoom is that it is very stable. And I don't personally remember that Zoom has ever crashed my computer or crashed my screen reader, because all those weird activity we were doing here. Okay.
Looks like you minimized the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, you're on the first slide.
Oh, nice. That is the beauty of Outlook. not by a government office, you know, with the PowerPoint. When you leave the session, where we do go to different, switch the window. When you come back, you are no longer in presentation mode. Okay, here some of the features that I think we can talk about it. We have the meeting toolbar, meeting control toolbar. That is usually, again, by default, as this is placed on the lower, it is bottom on the bottom of the screen. By default, mouse user, they can make it visible by hovering the mouse toward the edge of the lower bottom of the window. That was a really critical problem, because without that control, without that, keyboard user wouldn't be able to do it. So that was one of the really first issues that we addressed. We talked with Zoom, and they made it accessible. When you are setting up your Zoom, I believe at least it was our request that it will ask you, do you want to make that toolbar visible, yes or no? So then if you are a mouse user, probably you do not want, but if you're a keyboard user, you want to make it always visible. You can also change the setting in the settings, in the accessibility settings too.
Yeah, and this is Jason. I'll just add that the toolbar was actually a pretty big problem when we first started testing Zoom, because you couldn't control any of the meeting settings without accessing the toolbar. You had to hover over the window with your mouse in order to see the toolbar. And so when we brought this up as a priority one issue with Zoom, they relatively quickly fixed that and added an option to be able to make that toolbar sticky.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so notification, as I've said, many actions, not all, many actions that we see on in Zoom, they are audibly announced. For example, if somebody joined the room, somebody leaves the room, if screen sharing is enabled, disabled, or the chat. At the beginning, it was great, but you know, when you have a big room like this, then it can become quite annoying, because you hear every action anyone is doing. So Zoom is planning to customize it, and then I would like to ask Ken or Andy to give us an update on that. You know, where are we as far as that plan goes?
Yeah, so this goes along with kind of the notifications customization as well as the shortcut keys. Similar type of feature. Currently we're working on a a redesign for our meeting client, and we're hoping to get some of these features once we iterate.
Yeah, thank you. The same thing with the shortcut keys. And we can go or Andy or Jason, they can take you to the settings, and then they show you that we have a specific accessibility settings. And then in that settings, we have also a shortcut key option. So at this time, we have pre-designated shortcut keys for commonly used functions. But there is also a plan. Actually, I had a conversation yesterday with Ken. He was saying that it seems that they are escalating that to, and hopefully it will be added soon. So when they do that, practically any user can customize which shortcut, what shortcut key should be used for what event or function. So F6, that is our another feedback that we provided to them. You, those of you are familiar with my Office product, you know that you can use F6 key to move between different panes within the application. Occasionally we have multiple panes in Zoom in order to make an effective navigation between these panes. We suggested to adopt this Office idea for navigating between these panes, and they have done that, which makes navigation significantly more effective. Reasonable focus indicator. I cannot say anything about it, but I rely on you guys to determine that. But I am being told by everyone that they have now reasonable focus indicator when you tap through the application. Accessibility support. We have been testing this officially, formally here for Windows 10 on Windows and Mac. But I am using also Zoom on Android and then iOS. I can use it. Really, I haven't done complete testing, but at least selected functions that I use that were accessible. Closed captioning, I would like to pass it to Jason or Andy to talk about it, because this is a little outside my expertise.
Yeah, this is Jason. I'll actually just say a few words, and then I'd like Andy to, or Ken to talk more about the work we've done on captioning and what Zoom offers in terms of captioning. But when we first started our collaboration with Zoom, there was only one option to be able to caption, and that was a closed caption window that a assigned closed caption provider would join the meeting and then just type into it with no sort of streaming of text available. But since then, they've improved that option, and now they offer streaming text. And so someone can use a stenograph machine to more quickly deliver the message. I don't know what technology or what type of machine our current captioner is using, and I don't think they can answer any questions. I see a lot of questions in the chat asking our captioner what technology they're using, and I don't think they can answer those right now. Their hands are a little busy. but we'd be happy to follow up and get more information from our captioner as to what technology they're using. That's where I'll stop, and I'll pass it to Andy. Do you want to cover anything that I didn't?
Yeah, so Jason covered it pretty well. On top of that, we are looking to improve the captions. I saw a lot of chat messages and Q&A regarding this, but what we would like to do is make that more fluid so that more of the captions are showing at a time, as well as making it more real time if possible. So those improvements are being worked on, and we're trying to figure out the best way to implement that. As mentioned, we support a captioner joining the meeting and using a keyboard or the stenograph machine. We also support third-party closed captioning. So with CART software or other software, they can configure that to pipe the captions directly into the meeting as well.
Yeah, and Andy, we're just getting getting a few people mentioning that the captions are kind of showing too quickly. And you can see that here. I noticed that myself, but what I did was just expand the caption window by hovering over the caption window and hitting the little up arrow, and it made it a little bit bigger. And now it's a little bit easier to read, although it does cover up the PowerPoint slide. So it would be nice if you would be able to, if you could like move, if this was a separate window and you could move the caption window around so that, you know, it doesn't, in case it's blocking the PowerPoint text. And then, like you mentioned, another improvement could be having the text show up a little bit smoother. That, I don't know, it could be the way that our current captioner is typing it and putting the text in to this meeting. If they're just using the kind of older way, which is just using a keyboard and typing it in, or if they're using a stenograph machine, I'm not sure, but we look forward to continuing to work with Zoom on and making improvements like this.
Great. I was planning to show you also other features like invite somebody to a meeting and a few other options that are not available in the webinar mode. But Andy, can you talk about that invite option? That, you know, how we can invite somebody to a meeting?
Yeah, so in the regular meeting platform, the reason why it's not in the webinar platform is because there's the registration portion where the host wants to be able to capture each participant. So they want to have control over who's invited to the meeting, into the webinar. But for meeting, we have an invite button that allows you, any participant in the meeting, to click that button, and then you'll have the option to invite any of your contacts on Zoom and call them directly, or copy the invitation or import the invitation into your calendar system so that you can invite other users that way.
Okay. And then the invite information, the room information are sent to that person, right, via email. How about, Andy, about the using PMI and non-PMI room?
So in regards to setting up your meetings, we have several options. So there's an option, which Hadi just mentioned, to use your PMI, which stands for personal meeting ID. This is a dedicated meeting ID that's always live for you, so you can start at any time. So it can be an ad hoc meeting. If you want to give someone your ID to join and just setting up a meeting on the fly, you can give them that number. You can customize that number. Most people choose their phone number, so that's easy to remember. So there's that option, or you can schedule a dedicated meeting that'll use a different meeting ID through our web portal, through the client, or through our extensions that allow you to set up a one-time meeting and invite only who you want to join that meeting. So that's more useful for if you're meeting people that you're only having a one-time meeting with versus someone you meet with regularly.
Thank you. Another accessibility feature that I would like to highlight is that, you know, that you can save the chat and you can copy the information in it or even click on the interactive elements in the chat. And then I think with this, I think another point was that Andy mentioned that we have not enabled that feature for this webinar, but it is very possible that Norm will decide to use also telephony function to join the webinar. So you will get a number and then conference ID, and everybody can, who is not at the computer, can use telephone to join that, and then be able to communicate with the and the participants. So with this, I guess we are getting closer to the QA session. Before I ask Beth to become the voice of chat again, I was wondering between you guys, anything that you would like to mention, or even Dan from other room?
This is Jason again. I'm just reading the chat. People are sending us a lot of messages and feedback on various things, captioning and
but before that,
and navigation and things like that. So thank you for your feedback. And I'm, you know, the two people from Zoom that are in this meeting right now, Andy and Ken, are the main people over at Zoom who are working on this stuff. So and their teams. So appreciate the feedback, and we're gonna take back this information and document it and test it on our end, because we do have staff here at the University of Washington that that test and document any issues and feature requests that and we work with Zoom to make those happen. So I'd encourage you to not just share your feedback here, but get involved with Internet2 and join the group and share your findings through that channel, because it'll get higher up on the food chain, if you will, to get things done.
That's great. Voice of chat, please.
Voice of Q&A. as I said, there's as has been mentioned, there's been a lot about the closed captioning. And so one of the comments was, I believe that when you close the Zoom client, if you've used the closed caption, there's a text file automatically saved to your desktop. And is this part of the EULA? And I know that it is one of the choices in the settings, but somebody can answer that.
Yeah, I'll let Andy, from what I understand, yes, that's correct. When you choose to have a live captionist like we're doing today, when we're done, I don't know if participants will get this, or if it's just the hosts, will get a text file with the entire transcript, including timestamps. That's available. We're also recording to the cloud. And what's cool is it will include the captioning on the cloud recording as well. So in our Zoom account, we can go in, and when we share the recording out, captioning will be included in the recording. It's just a toggle, right, where you can turn it on and off. And it's just a, you know, captioning overlay over the video. So they also offer, if you record to the cloud and you don't have a live captioner during your session, the Zoom cloud will do its best effort using artificial intelligence to caption the video. And of course, we all know that when a computer tries to caption spoken English or any other language, it doesn't always get it right. And so what you can do is go in after the recording and pretty easily edit what the computer got wrong. So it's actually pretty easy to edit and change, and it's not perfect, but an alternative to a professional caption. So.
Great, thank you. Andy?
Right, so Jason covered that pretty well. As far as the captions go, it should only save to the computer if you either click that button or if you already have, if you've logged into Zoom before, there's an option to always save the meeting text. So you can turn that on and it always saves the chat as well as the any closed caption text that was in the meeting as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looks like WSU Vancouver asked if there's options to export the caption file, an SRT file. And I think you can do that if you're the host of the meeting. You can download an SRT file of the caption and put it up in something else. Right, Andy?
Right. So we could provide a VTT file. that they can either embed in the website or use with the AnyVideo media software.
Okay, thank you. Next question, Beth.
Okay, I'm trying to do the Q&A and try to juggle the text box, so the chat box. So I will say that Andrew Downey, who is blind and in Australia, said that he had major problems with the captions. He turned them on out of interest, and the captions stopped his screen reader from accessing other controls. And it took a lot of effort to turn them off. And he also does not like the alert every time a new caption comes in. Unnecessary verbosity. Yeah. And I'll add one other thing that, well, go on, you can answer that one.
Okay, I think I guess answered the second part, which is, you know, that we don't like everything that comes into the chat or the caption will be announced. This will be part of the hopefully new design, so then the user will be able to customize the audible notification. But I do not know about the first part.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So as for the first part, it shouldn't be, if you turn it on, you should be able to click the option again and it shouldn't notify you again. So if you click the closed caption on the toolbar again, it should just remove the captions until you click that again. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
This is all reason to be part of this collaboration, and so you can report that, because we have limited resources and then we have really exhausted our resources, so we appreciate new energy and then resources. Please consider to join the group and then report those issues. Through this collaboration, you will have direct access to all those people who are working on Zoom.
I think Andrew's point was that because he's using a screen reader, he said that it stopped his screen reader from accessing other controls, so he was unable to click to turn it off.
So that is something that we cannot, we haven't done that. We haven't done the testing.
That's
so
why he's letting us know.
Yeah, so the answer, we do not know that until, he reports formally, and then we can pass it to Zoom, or he can do that directly with Zoom.
Okay, and then I have Sean says, with the current focus indicator, it's hard to find what window pane I'm on. With the customization of the focus indicator, can something be done to indicate which pane the user is on?
Andy.
Completely outside my expertise.
Yeah, so for this one, we will have to investigate. It'll really depend on, we need to get some more information on what, if you're using Mac, PC, or what type of device, as well, to see what the specific issue is with the focus indicator. But if there's definitely an issue there, we want to investigate and prove that.
Okay.
And Ken says he is not seeing the more button we're referring to. He has a view options at the top of the page that this can be used to return from full screen mode. Oh my God, it disappeared.
Sorry. That was Jason. I was just typing in my answer, but the answer is you won't see the more button as a participant of this webinar. You have to actually be the host to see more options. So that's why you're not seeing the more button, John.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Nolan makes a point that an excellent resource if you want to use Zoom is a tutorial from Molson Consulting. And the website is https://mos.org/zoom. Thank you very much for that one, Nolan. And then I have... how do the vendors work with you to demonstrate their progress on fixes?
I think the question is for me.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
How do? So I think that is the way. If with companies like Microsoft, they frequently come here and then we sit at the same table, and then we look together. We never evaluate the application without somebody from the company being present or sitting with us, because we do not want, for any minute that we spend on that, we would like that we use that time as a teaching moment. So they need to be with us, either in person or via Zoom, to see the experience. And then this is the best way. And sometimes, as you have seen that earlier, I pass the control to the company, or to those people on the other side, and then I give them a simple task to do it. And then that is how we evaluate or identify the problem or show them. And then after that, this is the discussion how to address those issues.
And this, Jason, just adding to that, we also keep a very detailed spreadsheet with lists of problems and lots of other information. And Zoom collaborates with us on that spreadsheet to update things as they get fixed and things like that. So we have tools that we use to collaborate with. Yeah. But it's 11:01 now.
Okay.
Or 12:01 now.
So it is 12:01. I know that Norm usually ends the meeting shortly after top of the hour. I leave it up to you, Norm and Beth, if you want to go more with the questions, or we close it formally and then continue. And
well, I actually really only have a couple comments that I think a few people would like to know. Sean says that the remote control feature has enabled him to look at software that he could not get permission to install on his computer, and he says it is great. So that's a good point. And but then the Texas School for the Blind says that they have had good JAWS and NVDA focus in Zoom, except for the polls pane. None of the questions are read in the poll window or the poll results window. And I'm going to make Norm unmuted, so if he wants to say anything, he can.
I'll learn.
Thank you, everybody. What a great job the panel did. Thank you, everyone. Great job. If you want to put up the slide with your information for contacting you on it, you better put it up now, because a lot of people are having to leave. I know Beth has to leave too. So this was really worth an hour. We learned a lot, and I think we realized there's a lot more to learn, but it's a good start. I thank you for helping Beth and me get our feet wet. And we'll be back here with some webinars in October and later. So you can go to EASY's homepage, EASI.cc, click on webinars, and you'll see the webinars that are coming up. When the recording on this is available, I'll have it at the very top of the EASY.cc homepage. So thank you, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you also from our end. Thank you also to our Zoom friends and colleagues who have been working with us for over 2 years on these issues. And then also my colleagues here, Dan Condon, Jason, and also my students who have even done internship at Zoom and then helped them to address many issues. It was, thank you for the opportunity, Norm.
Verbally share your contact information.
Okay, contact information, mine or the end? Okay, or we can go to that slide.
Okay. Go.
Yeah, this is the last slide.
Sorry.
Okay. That is the contact, our contact information. Feel free to record it and then contact, as I always said, that my colleague Dan Condon for any questions that you have. But we will be glad to hear it from you back, and then hopefully some of you will decide to join the collaboration. Thank you again, everyone, for your for coming to this meeting.
Someone specifically asked if you verbally give your contact.
Oh, verbally. Okay. My contact information is Hadi, H-A-D-I, last name, R-A-N, as Nancy, G-I-N. And the email is Hadi, H-A-D-I-R, at uw.edu. But, you know, if you can write down Dan's email, it is easier. Dan, D-A-N-C, at uw.edu.
I think I got all of the contacts put into the chat box for everyone. Also, Jason, if you could email Norm the copy of the recording from the cloud, I don't know, maybe I can access it myself because I did it to the computer just so I can compare the two. I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
Thanks again, everyone. Thanks, Ken and Annie and Norm and everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Talk to you next time.
And Beth, as usual, did a great job.
Thank you. Of course.
Well, thank you all. Thanks for putting up with me on my first time because I get stressed when I'm doing things I don't know what I'm doing.
Have a nice day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It's riding to third party. J5 Tesla 7 has left the meeting.
Alert from Roger. Can you stop sharing?
Yeah, who's messaging?